Well, most of you in the congregation know that my wife and I speak Spanish at home, and that I speak Spanish and give sermons in Spanish at three sites in Latin America. And learning a foreign language can be a challenging and also wonderful, rewarding experience. Upon the mastering of a few words, verbs, and conjugations, one can carry on a congregation with somebody that speaks a different language. So that's a wonderful part of actually learning and being able to speak a language. A challenging part is taking words from one language and trying to make sense of them when one word just does not translate well from one language to another. And that happens in Spanish on occasion. We had our daughter-in-law with us over one of the holiday weekends, and it was good having her and my stepson with us. And we were talking about that as we were speaking. There was one word that she said in Spanish, and it just does not translate well into English. You just can't make sense of it like you would like to. It kind of brings to mind the saying, if you've ever heard of that, something was lost in the translation. Just didn't quite come across the way you wanted it to. And that happens sometimes when we read words in our English Bible. Often a word or verb that is written in the original Hebrew or Greek does not come across in English the way it was meant to in the original language. So our King James translators, when they translated the King James Bible in the early 1600s, they took those Hebrew and Greek words and translated it into the English words of that day, which still there was some of the lingering Old English effect, which when you read your old King James Bible, you see the these and the thous, which goes back to that Old English. So sometimes they used words that were used in that day that just really doesn't give the meaning of what was meant in the original Hebrew or Greek, oftentimes resulting in a different picture for us in what was originally intended in the ancient languages. One of those words that did not translate into English from the original Greek is meekness, the word meekness. What do you think of when you hear the word meek or meekness? Now, I would say most of the time when you think of that word, you think of maybe somebody who's weak. You just don't think of somebody that's being strong. But it's actually the opposite. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 5. We come upon a section of Scripture where Jesus Christ, after he had received the Holy Spirit and came into Galilee, was preaching the gospel message. He also was calling the disciples to follow him, to help him preach the gospel message with him. Then we come across a section of Scripture after he'd been teaching and healing and doing the many things in Galilee, where he actually sat down with the disciples in Matthew chapter 5 to begin to teach them the way a rabbi would. And these teachings in Matthew chapter 5 are what we call the Beatitudes. And we're going to focus in on one of these Beatitudes here in this particular sermon. So we see in Matthew chapter 5, verse number 1, seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. So the disciples came to him to personally learn from Jesus Christ. And remember, he had just received the Holy Spirit, had called them, and so he's going to give them some very important information here. Verse number 2, then he opened his mouth and taught them. So he begins to teach the disciples in earnest here. And then we go through these verses here, which are the Beatitudes. But the one I want to focus in on is verse number 5, where he said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. It's such a quality, this meekness, that a reward is involved in developing this particular characteristic. Now, often times when people look at this particular scripture in verse number 5, they get the impression that Christ was saying one would be rewarded for maybe being kind of weak. Is that what he was saying? Someone who maybe gets run over by others. No, that's not what he was saying at all. We will see that the meaning here that was intended did not refer to being weak. It's one of those lost in the translation examples if you don't really think it through and investigate into it. The Greek word, which is translated into our English word meek, is actually very rich in meaning. It has more than one meaning, as we'll see as this sermon is developed. It's very rich in meaning beyond what we think of the word meek in English. So to understand the true word, the true meaning of this word, is to understand a great character quality for us to grow in and apply in our lives. The title of the sermon today is Growing in Meekness. Growing in Meekness. Today, we are going to learn four aspects of what true meekness is. Four aspects of what true meekness is. And to do that, we will examine the meanings from the Greek word for our English word meekness. So we're going to thoroughly examine that word in the Greek and the meanings of it so that we can understand how to apply this and develop meekness in our lives. This is such a great character quality for a Christian because it exemplifies how Christ lived his life, the type of character that he had and displayed as he walked on this earth. Christ said himself, "I am meek and lowly in heart." So it was a character quality that he displayed in his life. You know, it's hard to believe, but we're only about 2 months away from the Passover. So this is a good time to focus on having a Christ-like focus and attitude, to begin to prepare and to think about the Passover as it comes and how Jesus Christ lived his life and how we can learn from his example. To learn and grow in meekness and develop it in our lives. Notice again here in verse number 5 that it says, "The meek shall inherit the earth." In other words, there's an inheritance, a sure reward for developing this character quality. And we all want to be rewarded someday in the kingdom. Meekness is an avenue towards that reward. There's an emphasis here on future promise. Those who become as Christ, meek like him, will be rulers in the world to come. Now this particular beatitude in Matthew 5, verse number 5, was quoted by Christ from Psalm chapter 37. So let's take a look at that. Let's go to Psalm chapter 37. And we'll be reading verses 9 through 11. There's a contrast in this particular Psalm chapter 37 between the wicked and the righteous. Psalm chapter 37. Let's actually begin reading verse number 1 as we contrast this difference between the wicked and the righteous. Psalm 31, verse number 1. "Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity." And you know, sometimes we look around in this world and we see people that supposedly are getting ahead, that you know are advancing in status or richness or whatever it might be. It seems like they're getting ahead. But sometimes they're actual workers of iniquity. Verse number 2 tells what their end will be. "For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb." So we should not be envious of that type, that way of life. Now let's go down to verse number 9. "For evildoers shall be cut off." But, here's the but, "But those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth." Inheritance in the kingdom, the promises. That's what we all look forward to. Continuing on, verse number 10. "For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more," those who live that kind of lifestyle. "Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more." Then notice verse number 11. We find the phrase repeated here. "But the meek shall inherit the earth." And this is where Jesus Christ quoted from Matthew chapter 5, verse number 5. "And shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." When will be a time of abundant peace? In God's kingdom. We don't see that now. not in this world. Abundant peace marks God's kingdom. And those that are meek will inherit that particular reward. It is something for us to strive for and to develop meekness in our lives. Meekness is a character quality that will exemplify those who do inherit the kingdom. So let's take a few moments now and let's look at some definitions of our word meek, because sometimes it leads to misconceptions about what was intended in the original Greek and Hebrew language. First of all, this is from the New Collegiate Dictionary. Here's one definition. Deficient in spirit and courage. Now that kind of leads you to think of somebody who's on the weak side. They don't have the courage they should. Not violent or strong is another one. So you think of somebody who's weak because they're not strong. For all of you .com people, here's a definition from dictionary.com. Meekness. Humbly patient or docile. Humbly patient or docile. Another one, overly submissive or compliant. Spiritless and tame. So all these particular definitions lead you to think of somebody who's on the weak side. And yet, that is not what was intended in the original Greek. It's actually the very opposite. And it exemplifies the life of Jesus Christ. Let's go now to Matthew chapter 25, continuing this theme of inheriting the kingdom and the reward for living this type of life of meekness. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 34. This is a section of scripture where Jesus Christ is talking about separating the sheep from the goats. And the sheep, those who will be obedient, will be on the right hand. The goats, who do not want to be obedient, will be on the left hand. Then we come to verse 34 of Matthew 25, and he says this. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, those that are obedient, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now we could very easily insert, come, you meek, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world in this particular scripture. Then we get a picture as we read on of what the meek really do. And it's a picture of how Christ lived his life in service to people as well. Verse 35, for I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. Jesus Christ served the people of his day. And that's what he's saying a meek person does. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. And I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. And that's the way Christ lived his life, and it's an example for each and every one of us. It's such a great quality, this word meekness, that it's one of the fruits of the Spirit. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, which gives us the list of the fruits of the Spirit, written down by the Apostle Paul. Fruits that we want to grow in as Christians, using God's Spirit so that we can develop these things in our lives. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, and we'll begin reading in verse number 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Then notice verse number 23. Gentleness and self-control. Against such there is no law. Notice this word. I'm reading from the New King James now. The word is gentleness. If you're reading from the Old King James, the word is meekness in that particular Bible. Now, in the early 1600s, when the King James translators were translating from the Hebrew and the Greek, they put this word from the original Greek into our English word meekness. The New King James translators who have written the more modern translation looked at that particular word meekness, and it's not something that we use too much in our normal language. Nor is it very popular to use the word meekness, because again, it goes back to that thought of being weak. So they put a different word, which is a synonym, gentleness. So meekness and gentleness, they're synonyms, but gentleness is something that we use more commonly in our everyday language. A better English description. But to understand the character quality of what this meant in the original Greek, we need to get into the meanings of what was intended in the original Greek. And that's what we're going to do in this particular sermon. We'll look at the meanings, and then we'll show the aspects of that so that we can develop it in our lives. The Greek word that was used for our word meekness or gentleness is the word praeotes, which I'll spell that for you. It's P-R-A-O-T-E-S, P-R-A-O-T-E-S, which is the Greek word which we get our English word meekness, or a synonym, gentleness. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit. And one of the great things about the fruits of the Spirit is many of them connect together. They really do, if you examine it and take a look at it. Notice, for instance, the first two fruits of the Spirit here in verse number 22. Love and joy. They connect together. Somebody that's showing love in their lives, they're joyful. There's a connection between the two. And you can go down through the list and see how some of these connect together. Then we come to verse 23. And here's a connection. Meekness and gentleness connect together with self-control. They really do. Two fruits of the Spirit that connect together. And that brings us to the first aspect of growing in meekness. And that is, a meek person is God-controlled. Let me repeat that. The first aspect of growing in meekness, a meek person is God-controlled. In other words, to have a self-control that is under the submission of God. You're self-controlled while you are submitting to our Almighty God. Now, according to Vine's Dictionary of New Testament Words, this Greek word that I gave to you, praeotes, here's what it says about this. And like I said, there's many meanings. It's rich in meanings, and we're going to go through that in this particular sermon. Here's one of them, praeotes. Praeotes exercises itself first and chiefly towards God. In other words, that word meekness in the original Greek, it goes back to exercising your life towards God. Looking towards God. Putting God first in your life, in other words. Vines goes on to say, it does not fight against God or struggle and contend with Him. It's kind of the yes sir God attitude that one has. That's what this meaning of meekness is. Far from being weak. Let's go to Numbers chapter 12. Let's take a look at somebody who is described as being meek. We're talking about Moses. Numbers chapter 12. Moses had the yes, sir attitude to God. Numbers chapter 12. This is a section of scripture where Aaron and Miriam were murmuring against Moses. And Moses was very patient. Numbers chapter 12. And let's begin reading in verse number 1. Numbers 12, verse 1. Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. In other words, they were criticizing Moses because he had married this foreign lady. So they said, verse 2, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? You know, they're saying, wait a minute here, we're doing something here as well. Is he the only one that's getting all the credit? Has he not spoken through us also? And the Lord heard it. Of course, God hears everything that's going on, and he knew this conversation that was happening. Now notice what it says in verse number 3 to qualify and clarify all of this. Now the man Moses was very humble more than all men who were on the face of the earth. So Moses, he didn't challenge Miriam and Aaron. He humbly waited for God to intervene and uphold him. So he didn't refute them at all. He was patiently enduring with submission. That's what this word, notice here in verse number 3, where it says, very humble. Or if you're reading in the Old King James, it says, very meek. According to the Companion Bible, this phrase, very meek, or very humble, means to endure with submission. To endure with submission. Being patient while submitting to God. You're God-controlled, in other words. And that's part of meekness. God's will be done in my life. Now we know Moses had backbone. He wasn't a weak person at all. And we can find that in the scriptures in Exodus. Let's notice in Exodus chapter 7. Exodus chapter 7. And we'll also see that Moses was God-controlled. He had the yes, sir attitude. Exodus chapter 7. And verse number 1. So the Lord said to Moses, see, I have made you as God to Pharaoh, and Aaron your brother shall be your prophet. You shall speak all that I command you, and Aaron your brother shall tell Pharaoh to send the children of Israel out of the land. God was telling Moses his plan, what was going to develop, and that he was going to send them forth to Pharaoh and begin to plead to let his people go, to let God's people go. And what would be the end result of that, of them going to the promised land? Verse number 3, he tells them further, I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land. And we know there was actually 10 plagues that were fulfilled to multiply the signs that God would show. But Pharaoh, verse number 4, will not heed you, so that I may lay my hand on Egypt and bring my armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. And the Egyptians, verse number 5, shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand on Egypt and bring them out of the children of Israel from among them. And notice verse number 6. Then Moses and Aaron did so. Just as the Lord commanded them, so they did. That yes, sir attitude. Now if you think about this and evaluate this for a moment, God is sending you to probably the most powerful man on earth at that time. The Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Egypt was power supreme in the Middle East at that time. Had a very huge and strong standing army. They were building pyramids. They had a big building program, as you know. Very, very powerful. Very rich as they plundered other nations. And God is sending Moses to go tell this man, who actually considered himself a god. He considered himself a god, coming all the way down through his ancestors. Moses is going to tell this guy, you're going to let my slave people go that are doing all your construction projects and all your biddings. That took backbone to go up there and you know, not shy away and say, well, God, wait, let me think about this. Hold the phone for a minute. He said, yes, sir, I will do what you say. God controlled. Meekness. Very humble. Goes back to that original meaning and how rich it really is. Moses was a meek person who patiently waited for God's will to be fulfilled. Not a weak person. Strength and trust in God. John chapter 6. Let's take a look at another example of God's will that Jesus Christ exemplified, fulfilling God's will in his life. Of course, John chapter 6 is a section of scripture that we read during the Passover ceremony, or the bread ceremony, because Christ says in this section of scripture that I am the bread of life. John chapter 6, and let's focus in on verse number 38. Again, with that first aspect of being God-controlled as part of meekness and developing meekness. John 6, verse 38. Christ said, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Now that's the yes, sir attitude. Christ said, I've come down to do the Father's will, and I am going to complete it. And we know he did complete that. Christ did not live a life at court. You know, the Jews of the day were looking for the Messiah to come to set up a kingdom at that time, a kingdom on earth, to help get the Romans out of Palestine. They wanted the Romans out badly, and they wanted the Messiah to come, be king, set up the kingdom, get the Romans out, and they'd be happy. Christ did not come to do that. He came to die for mankind's sins and to preach the gospel message, to fulfill the Father's will. And Christ was a meek person as a human being, and he fulfilled God's will for him. In other words, putting God first in his life. Matthew chapter 11. We need to learn from his example of meekness and developing that in our lives, especially as we go forward to the Passover. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Matthew chapter 11, and verse number 28. Come to me, all you who are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The reward for coming to Christ and learning from him. Verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle or meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. If we go to Jesus Christ in an attitude of wanting to learn from his example, we will get that reward, and we will begin to develop that fruit of the Spirit of meekness in our lives. For my yoke, verse 30, is easy, and my burden is life. So we need to go to learn from Christ's example on our knees and ask him for that help so that we can develop this fruit of the Spirit in our lives and have a God-controlled life. The yes, sir, kind of attitude. Your will be done in my life. Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 through 7. This particular section of scripture that we read describes what it is to endure with submission, submitting to God. Isaiah chapter 53, a section of scripture that we focus on for the Passover as well, as we approach that season. Isaiah chapter 53, beginning in verse number 4. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. And we can read the gospel accounts of how he was tortured and beaten and afflicted. A terrible thing for our Lord and Savior to go through. Verse number 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. And we can go before him asking for healing because of the beatings that he took. Verse number 7, notice the first part here. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, and yet he opened not his mouth. All that beating and the torture that he went through, and he did not retaliate. And you know, he had all the power in the universe to do so. He could have brought down lightning bolts from heaven upon those people that were beating him and torturing him. And yet he was God-controlled. He knew God's will, God's plan. He had the focus of God's plan for what he was doing, and did not lose sight. And he did not open his mouth and contend against these people that were afflicting him. He opened not his mouth, it says in verse number 7. It speaks of the servant's willingness to fulfill God's plan. He did not defend or strike back. He demonstrated meekness by enduring all kinds of personal injury and insults without a word of complaint. Again, a self-control that is under submission to God. It took a lot of self-control for Jesus Christ. Of course, he's more powerful than all the rest of us, but he did have self-control, and it's something that we need to develop as well, connected with the meekness. John 15, verse number 5. We can do that by seeking him, his example, and abiding in him. John chapter 15. John 15 and verse number 5. Again, another section of scripture that we read after we partake of the New Testament symbols of the Passover, because it's Christ's admonition to the disciples that he was giving to them so that they could face the world. And it's admonition for us as well as we battle the things that we go through in our daily lives. John chapter 15 and verse number 5. Here's how we seek Christ so that we can develop this meekness that He had. Self-control, that submission to God. Verse number 5. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. We can bear much fruit, the fruit of the spirit of meekness, gentleness, by seeking Christ and abiding in him, being attached to him who is the vine. For without me, you can do nothing. Can't do it on our own. Don't have the power. We've got to seek Jesus Christ and his help. And going towards Passover, let's seek Jesus Christ and develop the Christ-like character of submission to God's will in our lives, which is the first aspect of developing meekness, the fruit of the Spirit. Number two, the second aspect of this rich word from the Greek, our English word meekness, the meek practices humility. The meek practices humility. In other words, a meek person is a humble person, to put it plainly. Vine's dictionary again says this: it is only the humble heart which is also meek. You can look in some Bible dictionaries, and when you look up the word meekness, they'll actually refer you to the word humility. They're related that closely. The Bible Knowledge Key Word Study says this: as a character trait, this word meekness describes a person who is humble in contrast to a pompous spirit often associated with worldly success. In other words, the humble person is the opposite of the person that's worldly succeeding and appears to be succeeding, like we read about in Psalm chapter 37. A humble person is not proud or haughty. Another description of developing meekness in our lives. Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 2. Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 2. We're going to read about the contrast between the pride and who's proud and the humble. Verse number 2. When pride comes, then comes shame. That's the ultimate destiny of the proud, the haughty, those who appear to be getting ahead. Shame is the destiny. But with the humble person is wisdom. A lot of wisdom in being humble. Jesus Christ was humble, an example of humility. And there's a lot of wisdom to draw from his example. This word here, I'm reading from the New King James, where it says humble. In the Old King James, the word is lowly. And of course, humbly is a better translation. Eventually, pride leads to shame, a downfall. But the humble person is wise because he will inherit the promises in the kingdom. A lot of wisdom there to apply. Psalms chapter 25. Psalms chapter 25. In verse number 9, Psalm chapter 25, verse number 9. Let's actually pick it up in verse number 8. Psalm 25, verse number 8. Good and upright is the Lord, for he teaches sinners in the way. We all want to be taught by God, God's way of life. He's the one that teaches us through his word. Verse number 9. The humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his way. We can learn from God's way if we have the true attitude of humility, which again goes back to that rich Greek word that we've been talking about in this particular sermon. The meek or humble person is interested in God's way, not in his own will, but he wants to be guided and taught by God. And thus, he'll be able to resist the pulls of the world. The paraphrase of verse number 9 reads like this: God will teach the ways that are right and best to those who humbly turn to him. Humbly turn to him. Help me, God. I'm turning to you. I need your help in my life. And it takes strength to be humble, to do things God's way in obedience and willingness. Isaiah chapter 57. Again, talking about the second aspect of humility and meekness and how they go together hand in hand and developing that as a fruit in our lives. Isaiah chapter 57. And let's notice verse number 15. Isaiah 57, verse 15. For thus says the High and Lofty One, the Almighty God, Mighty God, who habits in eternity, whose name is holy. Notice, I dwell in the high and holy place with Him who has a contrite and humble spirit. God says, I dwell. I have an active presence with a person who has a humble attitude and spirit. And through the Holy Spirit that we have, God dwells with us. He helps us and strengthens us. That's a great promise right there, reading that particular scripture. Continuing on, not only does He dwell, have an active presence with us, but also to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. God reaches down to lift up the humble when they need help, when they need a helping hand. It's a great character quality to have, this meekness, this humility. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verses 21 through 25. James chapter 1, verse 21. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. Boy, wouldn't it be great if everybody in the world would do this right now? Lay aside all filthiness and wickedness. We live in a better world. Wouldn't have the news that we have today. And receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Another way of developing this humility, this meekness, is through God's Word and seeking after God's Word. We already talked about abiding in Christ and seeking after Him. We need to seek after God's Word to have this humble, meek attitude characteristic. Continuing on, verse 22, be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, himself, goes away, and immediately he forgets what kind of man he was. Because he doesn't really understand. He's not really looking into it the way that he should. Verse number 25. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, God's Word, and continues in it, abides in it, just like you abide in Christ, that relationship with Christ is confirmed by continuing in God's Word, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. Notice, this one will be blessed in what he does. Blessed are you. You will inherit the promises, the meek, the humble, the doers of the word who seek God's word and apply it in their lives. Describing a teachable spirit without resistance, without disputing or questioning, seeking God's will through his word. James chapter 3, verse 13. One more scripture as it relates to the second aspect here. James 3, verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? And we all want wisdom. We all want understanding. We want to seek after that. Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. The really wise person learns from the Word of God. He has a humble, teachable attitude, which again is a great aspect of developing this fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Number three, the third aspect of developing the fruit of meekness. Godly meekness is strength. Godly meekness is strength. Not weakness, not spinelessness. It's strength. Again, going back to vines, listen to this. Talking about that Greek word praiotes, it says this. Praeutes describes a condition of mind and heart. The meekness manifested and commended to the believer is the fruit of power. The fruit of power by God's Holy Spirit, by developing this particular fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Continuing on, it reads like this. The common assumption is that when a man is meek, he cannot help himself. But the Lord was meek because he had the infinite resources of God at his command. Strength. He had the strength of God at his command. And that's the way Christ lived. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 16. Colossians 1, verse 16. Let's pick it up in verse number 15, this section of Scripture talking about Jesus Christ and the redemption that we have through His blood and the forgiveness of sins. Verse 15 says, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Verse 16, For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are in earth. What a power that He had, Jesus Christ, to create everything in heaven and earth. Visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. Jesus Christ had the resources of God at His command, the power of God, the Creator of all things, and yet He lowered Himself to become a man. That is humility and meekness, to be willing and obedient to submit to the Father's plan. There's strength in that. To submit to God's plan, not weakness, when you have so much power. John 13, second scripture that we read during the Passover session, as we think about this, as we relate this particular message, looking forward to the Passover. John 13, we read during the foot washing session. But let's notice something here that maybe we don't think about too often. John chapter 13, verses 3 through 5. John 13, verse number 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, all things, in other parts of the Scripture, means the universe, had given all things into His hands, and that He had come from God, and that He was going to God. He knew God's plan of what He was doing in His what He was to accomplish on the earth, to die for mankind's sins, to preach the gospel message of the coming kingdom of God. He was going to die, be resurrected, and then go to be at the right hand of the Father. But notice what He does. He has all this power that He gets from God. Rose from supper and laid aside His garments, took a towel and girded Himself. And after that He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which He was girded. And of course, this was an example for the disciples and for us to do as well. And you know, that takes strength. Going back to meekness being strength. You know, the weak person would shy away from doing this. Well, I don't want to do that. That's what a servant does. That's what the lowest servant does. And why should I do that? But it takes strength of character to do what Jesus Christ did and be humble and serve your fellow man. It's a demonstration of meekness. And again, to strength to fulfill God's plan in His life. Notice it says here the phrase, He was going to God, and yet He was willing to die for humanity so that they could have access to the Father. And He showed the disciples and us how to be meek and humble like Himself. And He took on the form of a servant. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Second Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 5. Again, talking about this third aspect of godly meekness being strength. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, let's begin reading in verse number 1. Now I, Paul, myself am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. So Paul is talking to the Corinthians here, and he's pleading with them. As he says, by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, his example, who in presence am lowly among you, but being absent am bold towards you. A boldness from being meek. Gentleness and meekness. But I beg you that when I am present, I may not. But I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with that confidence by which I intend to be bold against some who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. Verse number 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. You know we do. We have the pulls of the flesh that war against us. But we battle against it. We have weapons to fight our human nature. Strength, in other words. Verse number 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. There's weapons from God. There's strength from developing character, the character, the gentleness and meekness of Christ. Verse number 5, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. When we have the mind of Christ and develop the mind of Christ, abiding in Christ, in God's Word, we're developing that character of meekness, gentleness, and we have access to those weapons that help us fight our human nature, the carnality that pulls us down. It's a wonderful thing. It's a great thing for developing this particular fruit of the Spirit. Weapons of our warfare against disobedience. Notice it says in verse number 5, the obedience of Christ. The fruit of the Spirit of meekness and gentleness is typified by Christ. It's a strength of character. It's a character quality that helps us battle against going down the wrong road and choosing the right road. One more scripture, Romans chapter 12, verse number 2, as it relates to this third aspect of meekness being strength. Again, going back to that Greek word and the richness of it. So much more rich than our English word that we read, meekness. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 2. Romans 12, verse number 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Again, one of those weapons, having the mind of Christ, transforming our mind, going God's way. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, it's easy for people with human nature and carnality to follow the world and society. It's what everybody else does. Follow the world. Follow the influences that are out there. It's easy for us to do that. But it takes strength to resist the pulls of the world, doesn't it? It takes godly strength. And that comes by developing this fruit of meekness, gentleness in our lives. Godly strength to resist the pulls of the world. Finally, another aspect, number 4, of this rich word that goes back to the Greek of meekness and developing this fruit in our lives. Number 4, a willingness to prefer others to ourselves. A willingness to prefer others to ourselves. In other words, putting others first. Instead of the self. Not concentrating on the self, but looking to the welfare of others. That's where this word gentleness that we read in the New King James Version of the fruits of the Spirit comes into play. Gentleness with our brother. One of the fruits of the Spirit. Again, going back to vines, here's what it says about this Greek word. Praeotes is the opposite of self-interest and self-assertiveness. And it is not occupied with self at all. So developing this fruit of the Spirit, you're not occupied in yourself. You're occupied in your fellow man. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Second Timothy chapter 2, and verse number 24. 2 Timothy 2, verse 24. And a servant of the Lord, or we could say a disciple of the Lord, one who's growing in the fruits of the Spirit, one who's developing a Christ-like life. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, and patient. Verse 25, in humility correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth. So that they may know the truth. Being gentle, meek, not quarrelsome with others. This word quarrel here in verse number 24 comes from a military term that the Apostle Paul, he liked to use military terms in his writing. And this military term quarrel refers to hand-to-hand combat. Really going at it. Not just, you know, what you might think of quarreling with somebody, maybe words. You're talking about going at it hand-to-hand. The Apostle Paul is saying, you don't want to be that way, but actually gentle to all with a humble attitude. And then also the Study Bible puts it like this. The Lord's servant must not battle with words, but instead be gentle and kind to all. And we find so much with jealousy and contention that if it allows to grow, it will take root and it leads to all kinds of disorder. But meekness and gentleness, if practiced by the followers of Christ, will prevent such conditions from taking shape. You don't have to turn there, but as it says in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 10, Romans 12 verse number 10 says, be kindly affectionate to one another, giving preference to one another, not occupied in self. And that's another part of this rich Greek word that comes down to us in the word meekness and gentleness. Giving preference to one another. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 1. The Apostle Paul writing to the Ephesians says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Walking worthy God's way of life, choosing that way of life. Then he gives us a description of how to walk worthy. Verse number 2. With all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love. Gentleness, lowliness, meekness. There's at least three of the fruits of the Spirit listed here in verse number 2. Gentleness, meekness, long suffering, and love. Like I said at the beginning of the sermon, they're connected together so often, these fruits of the Spirit. And lowliness and gentleness is something that we need to begin to practice, continue to practice in our lives. Again, the Nelson Study Bible says this. These are attitudes. You know, talking about gentleness, long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. These are attitudes that Christ demonstrated when He was on the earth. These attitudes do not come naturally, but they must be cultivated to determine the place. They must be cultivated by the determination to place others above ourselves. Only the Spirit can empower us to treat people this way consistently, to put others above ourselves, developing the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, having the mind of Christ, as it says in Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 5. To grow in the fruit of meekness. As we begin to close now in this sermon, we see that this word meekness and gentleness that comes to us in our English form is so rich in the original Greek. It has so much meaning to it. As we see, being submissive to God, being humble, preferring others to ourselves, and practicing a Christ-like attitude of willingness. We need to develop this, especially as we go forward to the Passover season. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5 and look at a couple scriptures in closing here. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 through 21. Let's take a look at the opposite of the fruits of the Spirit. The road that we don't want to go down. The road that's not walking worthy of God. And realize that this is the contrast of the fruits of the Spirit, what we don't want to develop. Galatians chapter 5. beginning in verse number 19. And as we read these particular works of the flesh, think about some of the news items we've been hearing about in our world today, in our society. Think about some of the things that we've seen, the bloodiness that's going on, and just the examples. Verse number 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication. Well, that's rampant in today's society. You know, living together is not thought of at all. You just do it. Couples don't seem to want to get married anymore. Continuing on, uncleanness, lewdness. A lot of lewdness in our society today. Idolatry and sorcery. Hatred and contentions. Boy, have we been seeing that in the news lately. Jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies. Verse 21, envy and murders. Hear about that just about every other day, of somebody else getting shot in a school or a movie theater or whatever it might be. Works of the flesh, opposite of the fruits of the Spirit. Continuing on, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I told you beforehand, just as I told you in time past. And notice that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. The opposite of Matthew chapter 5, verse number 5, where we began the sermon, isn't it? The meek and the humble, practicing a Christ-like way of life, will inherit the promises in the kingdom of God. But the opposite, the contrast of that, walking according to the works of the flesh, will not inherit the kingdom of God, those who practice such things. It's not the road to take. So the counteract to the works of the flesh is the fruits of the Spirit. And certainly a meek and gentle attitude like Jesus Christ had. That is why it's so important as we approach the Passover season to focus on developing the meekness of Christ. And think about it and begin to apply it in our lives. One final scripture. In Proverbs chapter 16, and verse number 19. Proverbs 16, we have a choice to make. The roads that we take, brought up so much, so richly in the Scriptures. Proverbs chapter 16, and verse number 19. Pride goes... Well, let's pick it up in verse number 18. Good place to start. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. That's not the road that you want to take. Better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Much better to choose that road, a humble way of life, a Christ-like way of life, than to the way of this world and the works of the flesh and pride, which will ultimately be cut down. In closing, the spirit of the fruit of meekness and gentleness is having the mind of Christ. To have a self-control that is under submission to God. To be humble instead of prideful. Also the willingness to submit to God's plan and to prefer others to oneself. So as we go forward towards the Passover, let's reflect. And put effort into developing the kind of meek, gentle character displayed by Jesus Christ, and develop this wonderful fruit into our lives.